At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
A warmer friendly hello, welcome to lovely Las Vegas, the Dusty Gensie, with myself, Greg H. Peterson, now a part of the Beeson Family Podcast, and we do have a tremendous podcast for you. So in the second segment, I'm going to be joined by Eli Becker. He is the founder of HeatCheck CBB. He's going to be joining me, taking a look at everything that we've seen in the last 48 hours of college basketball. We wound up seeing some impactful moves in college basketball on Monday. We're going to touch a little bit on the landscape of the Pac-12 because you wound up seeing the Pac-12 wind up getting a good addition in Keon Brooks going over to Washington, where that puts them coming into the season, what sort of needs that winds up addressing. We're also going to discuss who deserves to be number one coming into the season. Seems like there's a pretty good debate between Gonzaga and Houston. I know that he checks CBB a little bit more on Houston. I'm a little bit more on Gonzaga. I really feel like you can't go wrong with either of these schools. And, well, when it's all said and done, when it comes to March, we're probably going to be seeing a little bit of a different landscape than right now. Always nice to be able to take a look at that debate too. So I'm going to be discussing just the very, very good with regards to both Gonzaga and Houston, because I think that both are in for absolutely amazing seasons. And we're also going to be taking a look at Missouri and the fact that their big offseason continues as well. So we got a nice chat with Eli coming up in the second segment. And then in the final segment, going to give you guys a little bit of a roundup as to everything that we wound up seeing in college basketball over the last 48 hours. Typically it's the last 24 hours, but today it's the last 48 hours because, well, we wound up doing our first conference preview of the season yesterday. That would be the Atlantic Sun. I'm going to be doing these for all 32 conferences, looking at every single D1 team. I believe that we are now up to 361 D1 teams, with three now joining the D1 ranks. So we've got a lot to talk about there. And if you do have a question, comment, segment idea, what have you for this podcast, you do have one of two ways we offer this in. First one is my Twitter timeline at GUnit_81. Keep in mind, letters CM. Name does not matter. So as per usual, please just send these into the timeline. Other ways, find an Apple Podcast review. If you rate this podcast 5 stars, it is very much appreciated. From there, you're able to find whatever you'd like to hear on this podcast via that 5-star review. No questions today, but had a great chat with Eli a few minutes ago. So I'll be bringing that to you next right here on Coast to Coast Hoops with myself, Greg Spears, and all part of the Beeson Family Podcast.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of restless nights? Meet Lisa, the sleep experts. Here at Lisa, we know that good sleep is essential for mental, physical, and emotional health. That's why their mattresses are made for exceptional comfort and support, catering to every sleep need. Check out Lisa's Sapira Hybrid Mattress, named Best Hybrid Mattress 5 years running. Sleep hot? The Chill Collection is built with cool-to-the-touch top fabric and layers of high-density comfort foams, all intended to remove excess body heat while maximizing comfort. With Lisa, getting a new mattress has never been easier. Delivery is free, and you have 100 nights to try out your mattress in the comfort of your home. Don't spend another night dreaming of better sleep. For a limited time, save up to $700 off select mattresses plus 2 free pillows. Go to lisa.com/iHeart for an additional $50 off mattresses and select goods. That's leesa.com/iHeart. Exclusions apply. See lisa.com for more details.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Good sleep should come naturally, and with the new Natural Hybrid mattress, it can. A collaboration between award-winning mattress brand Leesa and home design favorite West Elm, the Natural Hybrid is the culmination of these two companies' shared values: premium materials, meticulous craftsmanship, and sustainable practices. Made with natural latex, responsibly sourced natural wool, and environmentally safe foams, the Natural Hybrid elevates your sleep sanctuary. Indulges your senses and supports a greener tomorrow. Plus, when you purchase the Natural Hybrid, you're also helping fuel Leesa's work with shelters and those in need. Since 2015, Leesa has donated more than 40,000 mattresses to ensure children and families have a safe place to sleep. Don't put off a good night's sleep any longer. Get a Leesa mattress today for a sound sleep tonight. Visit leesa.com/iHeart. That's leesa.com/iHeart.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Good sleep should come naturally, and with the new Natural Hybrid mattress, it can. A collaboration between award-winning mattress brand Leesa and home design favorite West Elm, the Natural Hybrid is the culmination of these two companies' shared values: premium materials, meticulous craftsmanship, and sustainable practices. Made with natural latex, responsibly sourced natural wool, and environmentally safe foams, the Natural Hybrid elevates your sleep sanctuary. Indulges your senses and supports a greener tomorrow. Plus, when you purchase the Natural Hybrid, you're also helping fuel Leesa's work with shelters and those in need. Since 2015, Leesa has donated more than 40,000 mattresses to ensure children and families have a safe place to sleep. Don't put off a good night's sleep any longer. Get a Leesa mattress today for a sound sleep tonight. Visit leesa.com/iHeart. That's leesa.com/iHeart.
And we're back here in lovely Las Vegas for Coast to Coast Hoops with myself, Greg Spears, and now part of the VSiN Family Podcast. And it is great to be joined by our guest, as Eli Becker is the founder and really the operator over there at HXCBB. He does an absolutely amazing job running one of the best networks that you're able to find covering college basketball out there. He also does some great work over there with All Access Network, and he also does some work with Athletic Director U as well. Eli is a man that is out there in the great state of Washington, and you're able to find him on Twitter at his last name, Becker, B-O-E-T-T-G-E-R. You've got an underscore after that. Then his first name, Eli. And Eli, it is great to have you aboard. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me on, Greg. I appreciate it.
I appreciate you. And Eli, it has been a pretty dormant off season for the Pac-12. And go figure, a few hours after I said we should maybe do a little bit of a podcast today, the Pac-12 finally woke up a little bit. Keon Brooks is going to be heading over to Washington. I don't think that this is going to be sort of the same pickup that Quade Green was when he wound up going from Kentucky to Washington. But that said, this is something that I think is impactful for Washington. Was a little bit surprised that they didn't wind up having a coaching change in the offseason, but we did see Washington perform halfway decent out there in Pac-12 play last season. And with really, I'm going to call it what it is, a lack of moves out there in the Pac-12, I think that Washington, while I don't think that they're an NCAA tournament team or anything like that, they could be a team that winds up climbing up the Pac-12 standings, and I think that they might be in for a pretty respectable season.
Yeah, it's a big addition. I don't think that this one is anything to sneeze at. UW really needed to shore up its front court. That was one of the lapses last season, and they've had some great players come through that have been one-and-done guys like Isaiah Stewart, Jaden McDaniels of late. but they haven't really had that traditional 3 or 4 year type guy or someone who can bring experience since, I would say, Noah Dickerson, who was able to contribute at a really high level as a junior and a senior. And I don't necessarily think that Keon Brooks is going to be an all-leaguer in Pac-12 play necessarily, but I don't even think UW really needs him to be that. I think that he'll be able to slide in to their number four position. And to be honest, I like the duo that they now have with Frank Kepnong, who's the Oregon transfer, who brings a ton of athleticism. He wasn't really utilized a ton in Oregon's lineup for a variety of reasons. I think that offense just wasn't necessarily based around their front court, and they also had guys like Enfali Dante and Will Richardson, some other go-to scorers in the Ducks lineup. But you could do a lot worse than having Keon Brooks and Frank Kepnong in your starting front court. So I like the upside of those two being paired together, because for the most part, entering this offseason, the bulk of Washington's newcomers were in the front court. They brought over Noah Williams as a transfer over from Washington State, who should be able to score pretty effectively, and also have a pretty decent recruiting class coming in. They've got a pair of guards who will be capable creators and ball handlers in both Corin Johnson and Keon Minifield. So I think the upside is there. I think, again, it's a matter of how well all of these pieces can come together, as is the case with a lot of teams that have high turnover. But I do like the upside of having both Brooks and Kepnong, and you even have quite a bit of size in Braxton Mia and Riley Soren coming off the bench. It's just big guys who can take up space in the zone defense. So I think there is quite a bit to like for Washington to at least climb up the standings quite a bit, because I think a lot of people lost sight of how well Washington performed in conference play, all things considered, after a pretty challenging non-conference slate. So I think that a bounce back is in the making, so long as they can get enough shots to fall. And I think that's the big question moving forward.
And I do think that just the entire landscape of the Pac-12 is going to be a fascinating one, as we do have Eli Becker over there at HXCBB joining me on the podcast, because you had your clear three last season. UCLA, Arizona was hands down the number one team, and then you had USC in there as well. And then after that, I mean, nobody else really was even a threat to be able to make the NCAA tournament. And now you take a look at it, Arizona would have taken some big steps back. I feel like Dalen Terry going into the NBA draft was very big. I still think that they're going to be a very solid school, no question about it. But that said, they're not going to be the same Arizona team that they were last season. UCLA losing Johnny Juzang, that's a little bit rough. USC, they wound up losing a few guys as well. And then Colorado didn't really do anything to be able to bolster their lineup. Washington State has been a little bit quiet here in the transfer portal. That has surprised me. Oregon has made a few moves. And then you had sort of Washington and Arizona State that I would argue have been the two most aggressive teams here in the transfer portal. And I would say that you still probably are looking at your big three in Arizona, UCLA, and USC. But pretty much we're going to call it 4 through 9. I think that that's fair to say. It's a big, giant, jumbled up mess. And I could easily see the two teams that made those additions in Washington and Arizona State being teams that they vie for that top four and perhaps can be able to get themselves in discussion for, I don't know if the NCAA tournament is realistic for either of them, but at the very minimum, the NIT.
It's a fascinating landscape, as you said, because I think the two or maybe three tiers in total in the Pac-12 right now, I think you'll see Arizona, UCLA, Oregon, possibly USC in most top 25 polls. The case for ours over on heatcheckcbb.com right now, it excludes USC, but we do have Oregon, Arizona, and UCLA ranked. Each of those teams are either 10th or worse. We have UCLA right now coming in at number 10, and then I believe it's Arizona 20, and then Oregon over at 24. So those are the three teams that we have ranked. But outside of those four, and I do think USC should be pretty strong once again. Maybe not quite the ceiling that we've seen the last handful of years, but a very good incoming class that might take a little time to gel. But beyond that, as you said, it's pretty wide open for the 4, 5, 6 slots per se. And I do think there are a variety of teams that could potentially slide into that range. I think Colorado's kind of a fascinating one. They've lost some pretty key contributors in the offseason, but it was a freshman class that was either banged up or they didn't have roles carved out yet. And I think that freshman class turned to sophomore should be able to take a substantial step up for what they do in year two. But I've mentioned on this podcast, and I will continue to throughout the offseason, I think ASU has had a pretty decent offseason in the portal. Arizona State's had a lot of departures and talent drains via the NBA draft over the years, and it wasn't the case this offseason, but I do think that there was quite a bit of starter caliber players who were able to make the trip over. I think shoring up the front court with Warren Washington, the Nevada transfer, is a pretty substantial acquisition. ASU also has the Cambridge brothers. They have Devin and Desmond Cambridge coming over from Auburn and Nevada, respectfully. Both of those players are able to create their own shots. And then they have two Michigan transfers, Frankie Collins over there. So I think that overall, that's quite a bit of talent that's being infused into this roster. And then you also have pretty decent upside guys like DJ Horn and Marcus Bagley, who have shown glimpses, but clearly haven't reached or tapped out on their potential yet. And I just think that when it is as wide open as it appears to be, when you do have quite a bit of talent like ASU does on paper, I think that it breeds a potential of possibly the Sun Devils having a bounce back season, because it was a struggle last season of finding the right rotation that worked. They had a number of guys who missed games, and it just seemed like a bumpy road altogether. But I think when you match up ASU's roster against the likes of Washington State, which had a major talent drain this offseason, Washington, as we've talked about, there's upside, but they're also trying to rebound quite a bit. And then the other teams that you throw in there, Utah, Stanford, Cal, Oregon State, those are all teams that have got probably quite a bit of ground to make up on the rest of the league. So I'd be looking at Arizona State and Washington as two teams that could potentially slide up their rankings given what they've done in the portal this offseason and also what the rest of the Pac-12 outlook is looking like right now.
And I'm glad that you point out the injuries of Colorado as well. Many people forget Quincy Allen, 6'7" combo player, top 100 player in the 2021 recruiting class, wound up being ruled out last season before it even started. So being able to get him back, I think that that's going to be a big addition that it's going to be sort of out of sight, out of mind. So I think that that's a good call there, as we do have Eli Becker of HXCBB joining me on the podcast. And then on Monday, we also did wind up seeing a big addition for a SEC school that I'm very bullish on. I was a little bit more bullish on them more for the 2023-24 season rather than this upcoming 2022-23 year. But all of a sudden, with what they were able to get on Monday, I'm now feeling even better about them for this upcoming year. And that's because they wind up bringing in Isaiah Mosley. In my opinion, one of the most underrated players that wound up entering into the transfer portal last year at Missouri State, 20.5 points, 6.5 boards shot, 90% at the free throw line, 43% from three. You got quite a few guys that are going to be following Dennis Gates from Cleveland State. We wound up seeing guys being able to come in like their top scorer last year in Des Moines, Hodge, Trey Gomillion and company. And I thought that these would be guys that would blossom, but maybe year one in the SEC would be a little bit too hard for them. But being able to bring in a guy like Mosley, I think that that takes Missouri from a little bit more of a two-year project. And certainly I do think that 2 years from now, it's going to be a little bit better than this upcoming year for Missouri, because I do think that it's going to take a little bit. But all of a sudden, I'm just so much more bullish on this Missouri team, because I think that the incoming transfer of Mosley is absolutely massive for them in the shortcoming, and also if he winds up staying multiple years long term too.
I think it's a big addition. I'll start with that. I think that Missouri, given their additions that they have this offseason, it's a lot of players who have struggled to score the ball efficiently. DeAndre Goldston from Milwaukee is probably the most notable there. He's high usage guy who just wasn't really able to get it going, even though he did put up big per game numbers this past season. The efficiency leaves a lot to be desired. And I'm also questioning the upside of both Trey Gomillion and Des Moines Hodge as SEC caliber players. They were tremendous two-way players in the Horizon League, but I'm kind of questioning what their transition looks like. I think overall, I do like the addition of Isaiah Mosley, because I do think that this team desperately needed a more efficient bucket getter. And when you can bring over a guy who can create, score 20 points a night and doing it with plus 50% from the field in terms of shooting, and also being able to hit well over 40% of his three-pointers and create, that's going to allow the offense to run much more smoothly. But I still think that overall, it's a lot of additions to this roster, which not only Mizzou had to do under Dennis Gates because it was a pretty empty cupboard that he was assuming, but I think overall you're counting on a lot of players to transfer up and be effective when maybe their role didn't translate necessarily to the high major level like some of these players have. But I do think that this closes the gap a little bit between Mizzou and maybe the middle pack of the SEC when you can bring in a player of Mosley's caliber. I'm curious to see what these rotations look like, what the offensive usage chart looks like in terms of who's getting the most looks, who's getting the most opportunities to create on offense, because you do just kind of have quite a bit of different skill sets here that that Dennis Gase is going to have to make do with. But I do think the intrigue is pretty high, because it wouldn't shock me if Mizzou is able to carve out maybe like 15, 17 wins and look like a respectable team. And if it goes sideways, then I think that this rotation could go in a lot of different directions. So I'm curious what it looks like, but I do think you bring up an excellent point in taking a look at the short-term future instead of just this season, and kind of bridging the gap between what this roster will look like in a year or two, and understanding that the quickest that you can infuse talent into a new roster when you have a new head coach, the better off it will be in the 2-3-4 year window. So I think landing a player of Isaiah Mosley's caliber, who was just phenomenal in the Missouri Valley this past season, is going to be a really big addition to the Tigers this upcoming season.
Yep, I think that bringing in Isaiah Mosley, pretty seismic for Missouri, I will say. A little bit concerned about how they're going to be looking down low. I know that they wind up bringing in Mabor Miyak, who is 7'2", but out there in the Ryzen last year, he averaged less than a rebound per game. So clearly the production was not there with him, but certainly going to be intriguing to see what we wind up getting out there. And Eli, going to be intriguing to see who's going to be the number one team in college basketball going into the year as well, because I am of the camp that I think that it should be Gonzaga out of all the NBA draft decisions that we wound up seeing last week. I thought that they were the biggest winners because I thought Julian Strother was going to be gone. He winds up coming back along with Rajir Bolton, a 43-ish% three-point shooter, and obviously Drew Timmy. Then from there, you wind up bringing in Malachi Smith. Obviously, Houston bringing back Berkus Sasser is big. You're able to make the case for North Carolina, but I would say number one would be a little bit lofty for them. I'm not sure where you wind up standing on this, but I do feel like the clear NBA draft winners, they are teams that are going to be vying for that number one spot going into the preseason. And even though it is a team in Gonzaga that they've never been able to cut down the nets, I still take a look at them. And going into the year, I feel like they should be the favorite to win the title.
I think they will certainly be considered to be in that conversation. I think the safe bet right now would be that Gonzaga starts the season as the preseason number one, so long as nothing too substantial happens with Gonzaga or with Houston or UNC or even Baylor, given what they have coming back. But I do think that the Bulldogs will start the season at number one, but that most likely is not going to be the team that we have as number one over on HeatCheckCBB.com. Right now, we have Houston as our number one team. We have Gonzaga at number three, and have to preface this all with saying that the reason that Gonzaga is number three, at least as far as I'm concerned, we have a consensus composite poll over there on the website. But I still think that there is going to be a bit of a transition in that backcourt. I think that although Nolan Hickman and Hunter Salas are both, I believe, were top 25, top 30 recruits coming out of high school, they still were pretty lightly used players last year. They weren't huge usage guys. They were the number seven and number eight players in Gonzaga's rotation behind Anton Watson. And even though the upside is huge with both of them, I think they're both extremely talented. I think that there is going to be a bit of a transition. I think that they will be perfectly fine as far as competing in WCC play. But as we know that guard play is just so impactful in March, they'll have to prove that they're ready and capable to get the job done for 40 minutes when it comes to an NCAA tournament setting. And I don't think it's a doubt that that's going to happen, especially because they are equipped with some pretty stellar supporting cast, especially after the addition of Malachi Smith. I think Gonzaga has quite a bit of flexibility with how they want to run this lineup. They can have Efton Reed in there when Drew Timmy needs to sit. They can put Anton Watson at the five. They can have a four-guard lineup when they put Malachi Smith in. You can do some different things with Rashir Bolton and Julian Strother. So there are a lot of options that Gonzaga can play with. But I do think that the rebuttal to that is we're just really high on what Houston has coming back. Marcus Sasser returning to Houston is just a massive, massive deal. He is a potential Naismith candidate, and I think he proved, especially in the NBA draft combine, what he is capable of doing coming off of his injury. And a lot of people forget that Houston's sidekick to Sasser, Tremont Mark is another player who was out for the season just a handful of games into the year. And he's another player who's an all AAC talent, and he can do a ton as far as scoring, has a ton of length. And of course, in Houston's system, he's going to be an excellent defender. But in addition to those guys, Jamal Shedd was a massive breakout candidate this past season. He did phenomenal things, and he was largely just a replacement to Marcus Sasser, and he established himself as an all-conference type player, and now he's going to be able to pair next to both of those guys. And you bring in a five-star in Jarace Walker, who's going to be kind of that swing man and versatile forward who play both offense and defense at an extremely high level. And I think Houston has the makings of a team that can really roll through their schedule, pick up quality wins in November, December, and we should be looking at a team that has a very legitimate chance at landing a number one seed and competing for a national championship. So I love the way that Houston is set up, and you obviously can't knock UNC either, given that they returned four of their five starters and might also be in contention for potentially Northwestern transfer Pete Nance. So that's going to be an extremely loaded lineup as well. But at this point, Greg, it's pretty much pick and choose who you want out of those three, Houston, UNC, and Gonzaga. They're all extremely talented. They have highly efficient and productive upperclassmen, and also a pretty good infusion of talent as well. So I think it's a really good three-team race at this point. And even beyond that, you have the likes of Baylor and Kansas and Duke, who also have quite a bit coming in as well. So it's going to be interesting at the top in college basketball next season, that's for sure.
Oh, it certainly is going to be. I feel like right now it's Gonzaga and Houston pick and choose for me. If North Carolina, to your point, they land Tommy Nance, that is going to be a game changer. If that does not wind up happening, I would have them more around number three, number four personally, but certainly a top five team there. So going to be interesting to see what happens there, because Houston very nearly made the Final Four without having two starters in that backcourt. Just shows how great of a job Kelvin Sampson did of being able to coach up that team. Almost as good of a job as you do of being able to run HeatCheck CBB, my friend. You do an absolutely terrific job over there. You are the founder of that terrific network. And on top of that, you do other great work when it comes to the sphere of college basketball, taking a look at things all 12 months out of the year. So love to get people at home know they're able to follow you on social media and just everything that you've got going on in general.
Yeah, I appreciate that, Greg. It's always fun to start projecting lineups and rankings and everything now that we're past the NBA draft deadline. And as always, you can find our stuff on heatcheckcbb.com. We are beginning to roll out some way too early conference previews and taking a stab at what these various top 8, 9, 10 conferences look like for this upcoming season. So plenty of insight into what the field of 68 may look like for next season, who are the players you need to know, and some breakout options and sleepers teams and all that kind of good stuff. So now that we're past the draft deadline, I can start to kind of inch forward and take a look at what these teams will look like come the fall.
Yep, we are starting to get a little bit more clarity. Just wound up doing my first conference preview about 24 to 48 hours ago when it comes to the Atlantic Sun. So we are getting all geared up for the 2022-23 season. It is going to be a masterful one, and Eli is going to be following it every step of the way. Always does a terrific job over there at HeatCheck CBB, and always brings it on this podcast. A big thanks to him for joining me right here on Coast to Coast Hoops, now part of the VEASAN Family Podcast. And coming up next, it is that time of the podcast to give you a little bit of a roundup as to all the news and notes that we wound up seeing in college basketball on Monday.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Good sleep should come naturally, and with the new Natural Hybrid mattress, it can. A collaboration between award-winning mattress brand Leesa and home design favorite West Elm, the Natural Hybrid is the culmination of these two companies' shared values: premium materials, meticulous craftsmanship, and sustainable practices. Made with natural latex, responsibly sourced natural wool, and environmentally safe foams, the Natural Hybrid elevates your sleep sanctuary. Indulges your senses and supports a greener tomorrow. Plus, when you purchase the Natural Hybrid, you're also helping fuel Leesa's work with shelters and those in need. Since 2015, Leesa has donated more than 40,000 mattresses to ensure children and families have a safe place to sleep. Don't put off a good night's sleep any longer. Get a Leesa mattress today for a sound sleep tonight. Visit leesa.com/iHeart. That's leesa.com/iHeart.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Good sleep should come naturally, and with the new Natural Hybrid mattress, it can. A collaboration between award-winning mattress brand Leesa and home design favorite West Elm, the Natural Hybrid is the culmination of these two companies' shared values: premium materials, meticulous craftsmanship, and sustainable practices. Made with natural latex, responsibly sourced natural wool, and environmentally safe foams, the Natural Hybrid elevates your sleep sanctuary. Indulges your senses and supports a greener tomorrow. Plus, when you purchase the Natural Hybrid, you're also helping fuel Leesa's work with shelters and those in need. Since 2015, Leesa has donated more than 40,000 mattresses to ensure children and families have a safe place to sleep. Don't put off a good night's sleep any longer. Get a Leesa mattress today for a sound sleep tonight. Visit leesa.com/iHeart. That's leesa.com/iHeart.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Good sleep should come naturally, and with the new Natural Hybrid mattress, it can. A collaboration between award-winning mattress brand Leesa and home design favorite West Elm, the Natural Hybrid is the culmination of these two companies' shared values: premium materials, meticulous craftsmanship, and sustainable practices. Made with natural latex, responsibly sourced natural wool, and environmentally safe foams, the Natural Hybrid elevates your sleep sanctuary. Indulges your senses and supports a greener tomorrow. Plus, when you purchase the Natural Hybrid, you're also helping fuel Leesa's work with shelters and those in need. Since 2015, Leesa has donated more than 40,000 mattresses to ensure children and families have a safe place to sleep. Don't put off a good night's sleep any longer. Get a Leesa mattress today for a sound sleep tonight. Visit leesa.com/iHeart. That's leesa.com/iHeart.
And we're back here in lovely Las Vegas for Coast to Coast Hoops with myself, Greg Eubanks, and now part of the VSiN Family Podcast. It is always great to get Eli Becker, the founder of HeatCheck CBB, on this podcast. He does absolutely amazing work taking a look at college basketball all 12 months out of the year. All the gentlemen over there at HeatCheck CBB, they are doing amazing work. It's great to get any of those guys on this fine podcast, and today it was Eli that wound up joining me, so big thanks, Sam. Now it is that time of the podcast. I give you a little bit of a roundup as to all the news and notes that we wound up seeing in college basketball over the last 48 hours. Typically, this is Eli's 24 hours, but today it is Eli's 48 hours because, as you guys heard, I wound up doing my Atlantic Sun Conference preview yesterday. We're going to be doing one for all 32 conferences, doing a deep dive on every single team, projecting them in their respective conference. So we're going to be doing a lot of the low to mid-major schools first in somewhat of alphabetical order. Some of these are going to be a little bit out of whack just because we do have some conference realignment that takes a little bit of time to be able to account for. But that said, we're going to be doing a conference preview for every one of these conferences and lit on some of the big transfer news that we wound up seeing in college basketball in a second, but we wound up having a few smaller moves. Quite a few guys deciding to go down to the non-D1 level. Like, for instance, we wound up seeing Jacksonville State's Caleb Burt wound up beginning his career at Charlotte, just was unable to find a home at either place, wound up averaging 1 point per game in two seasons. He has decided that he is going to be going down to the non-D1 level for East Florida State College. Very easy for your handicap here. All you need to note is that Mr. Bird, he was at Jacksonville State last season, unlikely to be too much of a factor for the team.
He has decided that he is going to be going down to the 91 level. Cross him off your list of names to guys to evaluate, and you're able to move on from there. Josh Barenbaum, he wound up being at North Florida the last two seasons, and during the 2020-21 season as a freshman, was able to shoot 52.5% from 3-4 points per contest. Obviously, a little bit of a small sample size, wound up falling off last season. He has decided that he is going to be going to Cal Poly Humboldt. It's actually halfway decent D2 school, but with that said, he decided that he is going to be going down to the non-D1 level, so this is another one that is very easy for you. We wound up seeing Jackson Wagner. He was at Northwestern State. He has decided that he is going to be going to the University of Dallas, so this is another gentleman that just could not wind up finding a lot of minutes in general, has decided that as a result, he's going to be going down to the non-D1 level, and I believe that he wound up redshirting last season, so that makes it all the more easy. We did wind up seeing Luke Tekovic. He was at Oral Roberts last season, played very sparingly, someone who wound up putting up pretty much 1.1 rebound per contest. 6'11" gentleman that is able to shoot threes, so he has decided that he is going to be going to Coppin State. This is pretty much Coppin State taking a flyer on a guy that winds up having a very unique skill set, someone that is able to pop threes at right around 6'10", 6'11". That is going to be a very big cog out there in the MEAC if he's able to really be able to find it. So this is really just a little bit of a buy low on them. Brock Newton, who last season was with the Racquetballs and Bucknell Bison on averaging 0.5 point per contest, he has decided that he is going to be going north of the border. He is going to the University of Ontario. So that's another one in which we wind up seeing just a very small move there. John Quarius McGee, he was at Nichols last season, averaged right around 2 points per contest. Bossier Parish Community College, they are going to be bringing him in. So another relatively small move. We wound up seeing Paul King. He last season was at Alcorn State, and this one is actually of a little bit of impact. He wound up seeing a couple starts last season, averaged 6 points per contest, shot 32% from three, which for Alcorn State, not necessarily too bad. He decided that he is going down to Oklahoma Baptist, so that's actually a little bit of a loss for them. Yaru Harvey, he has decided that he is going to go down to the non-D1 level as well. He is going to Northwest Nazarene, which is actually halfway decent D2 school as a freshman. Wound up seeing minutes in most games, just didn't wind up putting up a lot of points. Shot 33% from three, right around 1.1 points per contest. So a little bit of a developmental guy. He has decided that he is going to be going out of the fold there. Siku Demeli, he was at Southern Illinois last season. He has decided that he is going to be going to the 91 level while he was last at Southern Utah's. He wound up being banged up last three seasons. He played a combined 29 games, was averaging right around 2 points per contest, was someone that was a 6'7", 230-pound gentleman. He's going to be going out to the 91 level at Fort Lewis. Andre Cortez, he was at Alabama A&M, and this is someone that actually wound up seeing some relatively solid minutes while he was at Alabama A&M, wound up putting up right around 5 points, 4 rebounds per game for a team in which they really didn't have much outside of their main two. Alabama A&M was a bunch of which they were pretty much a offense that was scheduled around Jalen Johnson along Garrett Hicks. These two guys wound up averaging 30 points in the pocket of above 11.5 rebounds per game, and nobody else averaged more than 8.2 points per game. So Cortez was actually a big ancillary piece for them. He has decided that he is going to be going to San Diego City Community College, so that's a little bit of a smaller move there. You wound up seeing Jaron Cook. He was at Sam Houston State. He was another guy that wound up putting up some solid numbers during his freshman year to the 2020-21 season, 6.5 points. He shot from three-point range right around 35.5% from three, and this last year shot 38% from three, 5 points per contest. He has as well decided that he's going to be going down to Tyler Junior College. The big thing is just remembering to cross these guys off when you wind up just doing your evaluations in general, because, I mean, a lot of these guys, they don't wind up making much of an impact, but someone like Jaron Cook, you could be like, oh, I see some upside with him, and all of a sudden it's like, oh, never mind, we're not going to be seeing any upside with a guy that is not at the D1 level. Jack Chapman, who is at UMKC, he wound up having right around 4 points per contest, saw 15 minutes per game, shot 32% from three, is a 6'7", a little bit of a combo player. He's down to the non-D1 level as well. He is going down to Central Missouri, so that's another one that you're able to cross off of your list, and we did wind up also seeing one or two other ones. J.J. Harris, he was at Chicago State this last season, and he has decided that he is going to be going down to the junior college level. He's going to Tallahassee Community College. That's going to be a little bit of a loss for a Chicago State team that they've actually been able to do a very solid job of being able to utilize the transfer portal themselves. They're bringing in someone like an Elijah Weaver, who was at Dayton last year, a former top 50 recruit. That's actually very, very good for them. with Mr. Harris. He was able to give the team right around 4 points per contest as a freshman, so I did see a little bit of upside there, so that's going to wind up hurting them just a hair. And then you do wind up seeing someone that wound up being at the non-D1 level last season, and he is going to be going up to the D1 level. That would be Omar L. Shakai. Hopefully I'm saying that one correctly, but this is someone that wound up being able to put up some relatively solid numbers while he was at Assumption College a season ago, and I believe that he wound up beginning his career at Fairfield with the Stags, as he wound up being able to give the team 12 points, 11 rebounds per game as a 6'8", little bit of a rim protector, was able to shoot 33% from three-point range. Now, I will say, this is not a guy that winds up popping a ton of threes. He was averaging right around a three and a half per contest last season, but certainly someone that is able to be relatively versatile. He was able to also give the team right around 2.5 assists per contest as well, so he has decided that he is going to be going to Arkansas State, and while he was playing for Fairfield during right around the 2018-19 season, was someone that was able to come in off the bench, was able to give the team a couple rebounds, but never really saw a lot of meaningful playing time. So Omar El Shaki, he's going to be hoping that his second time around at the D1 level is going to be a little bit more successful than the first time around. Jamal West, he was playing at South Alabama this last season. He has decided that he is going to be going down to the non-D1 level. He has decided that he is going to be going to Clarendon College as a non-D1 school. And Jamal West, during the 2020-21 season, was a starter that put up 5.5 points, 6.3 rebounds per contest. I'm a little bit surprised that he's going down to the non-D1 level. Now, Clarendon, I believe, is out there in his home state of Maryland, if I remember correctly. So that could be a big reason why, but still was a little bit shocking to see him decide to go down to the 91 level. And I was also a little bit surprised by Josiah Freeman, who was last season playing at Western Michigan. He has decided that he himself is going to be going down to the 91 level. He actually started 19 games for Western Michigan last season. Now, Western Michigan, relatively poopy school last season. He did wind up in his 2 years at Western Michigan shooting 37.5% from three with 4.5 points per contest. I thought that someone might wind up taking a flyer on him rather than Howard College. This is not that were Bison. This is the non-D1 Howard. So it's a little bit of something there, but he decided that he is going to be going down to the non-D1 level. And now we've got some intriguing guys that they wound up shifting around with regards to the D1 level, as Marvin Coleman II. He was at UNLV last season, just has not been able to get out there on the court the last two seasons, held to a combined 21 games last 2 years. During the 2019-20 season, was really a breakout guy that wound up seeing 20 starts, put up 7 points, 5 rebounds, 2.5 assists, 1.3 steals per game while shooting 32.5% from three-point range. Really the master of none, but very good at very many things. He decided that he's going to be going to Evansville. The Purple Aces wound up letting go of Todd Licklider, and they wound up having their biggest success of the offseason, being that they decided to not hire Tom Crean, which good move there for Evansville. And now they're deciding to hit the transfer portal. I think that this is a good first step for them. They bring in someone in Coleman that he's not going to be a guy that winds up putting up like 20 points per game or anything like that, but certainly is going to be able to do a wide variety of things for the team. So I think that this is a relatively solid pickup for them. Emmanuel Shaminga, he was playing at UC Irvine this last season. He has decided that he is going to be staying within the UC system, and he is going to be going to UC San Diego. And San Diego, they really needed a little bit of something. This is not the Toreros of San Diego. This is the Tritons, who they wound up losing Tony Rokach in the offseason. But Shaminga, he is going to be pretty much a designated rebounder. 3.5 points, 3.5 rebounds per game this last season. He was really a developmental guy for the UC Irvine Anteaters, one of the better teams out there in the Big West, and he did shoot 65% from the floor last season. What they're bringing him in for is just rebounding. 7 feet tall, 300 pounds, UC San Diego. Not necessarily a slow team, not necessarily an up-tempo team. Going to be very curious to see how this winds up working out, but I'm a little bit bullish on it. With Prairie View A&M, you wind up seeing them bring in Braden Bell a little bit ago. He winds up coming in from Marist, a guy that was able to shoot relatively solidly from three-point range during the 2020-21 season. I think that there's a little bit of upside there, and now he's got a few friends coming along with him. Nikhil Ruti, he wound up being at Monmouth this last season, and I mean, this is someone that is able to do a solid job down low. With Rudy, he wound up having just 3.1 points per contest, but started in 29 games, and he put up 7.5 rebounds per game. a guy that is an okay shot blocker, not necessarily terrific, but at the same time, really did a good job with his shot selection this last season, shooting 56% from the floor. He's in there to give Prairie View some rebounds. Prairie View is a team that year in and year out, they've always been all about being able to generate steals, so maybe they're going to be going away from that style just a little bit, and I mean, it's clear that they were just getting completely pounded on the glass, so they needed to do something a little bit different, and I think that this could be a good first step with that regard. And then you do wind up seeing Aquorn Butler. He was at New Mexico State this last season. He has decided that he is going to be joining Prairie View A&M as well. And when it comes to Mr. Butler, he just did not wind up seeing a lot of minutes for the WAC champions and a team that was able to make the NCAA tournament this last season. But he's a guy that could wind up fitting that mold a little bit more of what they are going to be looking for. So going to be intriguing to see how these pieces wind up coming together, as Butler did not wind up seeing minutes this last season, but was a little bit more of a recruit for them. He did also wind up seeing Matt McFarlane. He was at LaSalle this last season. He has decided that he is going to be going to Hampton, and Hampton's a bunch that they needed a little bit of rebounding, and with McFarlane, I do think that he's going to be able to come in, and he's going to be able to do a very solid job of being able to help out with that guy that last season at 6'10", just did not wind up seeing really a lot of minutes, right around 1.2 points, and a little bit under a rebound and a half per contest. Someone who was a pretty highly touted JUCO guy a few seasons ago when he was playing for the good old Kobe Trojans, where he wound up having 11.5 points, 6.5 rebounds per game in his most recent season with that program. A guy that was also a very good shot blocker as well. He wound up having nearly 2 blocks per contest. A guy that wound up being born and raised out there in the Philadelphia area is going to be moving a little bit further away from home, but Hampton, they wind up getting a relatively solid ad here. Dylan Hawkins, who was playing at Norfolk State this last season, he has said that he is going to be stepping up and he is going to be playing for Iona. Going to be intriguing to see what he's going to be able to bring to the table for the Gales, as last season he wound up having himself a very nice year and actually began his career at Robert Morris, wound up putting up 13 points, 3.5 boards, 1.3 steals per game while shooting 35.5% from three. That's down from the 2020-21 season where he shot 44% from distance. So good sharpshooter out there. He's a native of the state of New York, and with Iona, as we know, Slick Rick, he has been able to do a very solid job with regards to this program. Nelly Jr. Joseph was very solid for the team last season. Now, they do wind up losing Elijah Joyner, so part of that backcourt that is going to be a little bit of a worry spot here for Iona. They are able to shore this up a little bit more with being able to bring in Jalen Hawkins. I feel like facilitation might be a little bit of an issue for them, but now they've got some good, solid three-point shooting. So I think that Iona, once again, going to be one of those very solid teams out there in the Metro Atlantic or whatever conference they wind up transferring to, because I know that our good friend Rick Pitino has been talking about that a little bit. Kevin Martina, he was playing this last season at Sam Houston State. He has decided that he is going to be going to good old Bobby Morris, someone who at 6'7", 215 pounds, just did not wind up seeing a lot of playing time in general. He was at Sam Houston State right around a point and a half per contest, under a rebound per game. At 6'7", he does have a little bit of versatility that is going to be able to help him out. Did not wind up having a lot of teams wind up recruiting him while he was coming out of high school, so this is going to be a little bit more of a depth add for Robert Morris. They're just hoping to be able to find a little bit of lightning in a bottle, it feels like, on this one, with someone with a little bit of size that might be able to deliver some versatility. I wound up mentioning this with our good friend Eli Becker, the fact that Keon Brooks, he has said that he is going to be going from Kentucky to Washington, and this is a big deal for Washington, as coming out of high school in the class of 2019, he was pretty much a consensus top 35 guy, wound up being a starter for a Kentucky team that was a 2-seed in the NCAA tournament last season. His rebounding was down a little bit last season, 6.8 boards per game during the 2020-21 season. Last year, more like 4.4 boards per game, but still wound up giving the team 11 points, 4.5 rebounds. Needs to work on the fact that he's a career 23.5% three-point shooter, but at 6'7", can be a little bit of a guy that's utilized down low. Now, with Washington, the low post play, that is a little bit of a work in progress. He wound up seeing it with them last season, really, other than Nate Roberts, who was able to give the team 5.5 points, 7.5 boards per game. You really didn't have a lot of that, and Emmett Matthews now on the fold as well, so you pretty much wind up bringing back one guy that wound up having more than 4.1 rebounds per game last season. That is a little bit of an issue, but certainly Keon Brooks should be able to help out with that aspect, and this is a very, very good ad for them. And then another relatively solid ad, and we wound up talking about this one with Eli Becker as well, Isaiah Mosley. He has decided that he is going to be heading over and he is going to be playing for Missouri after he was with Missouri State this last season. And this is just an absolutely monumental ad for Dennis Gates and company. I do like the hire of Dennis Gates. I do think that he's going to be able to turn around Missouri. Once again, I still don't think that Missouri is going to be like an NCAA tournament team this season, because you do have quite a few guys that they're going to be looking to find their way out there in the SEC. He winds up bringing along quite a few of his friends from Cleveland State: Trey Gomillion, Des Moines Hodge, Mabur Majak, along with Ben Sternberg. They're all going to be coming in from Cleveland State, but you bring in Nick Honor as well, someone that's able to do a solid job giving out a few assists, someone that's able to pop some threes. DeAndre Golson, Mr. Do-It-All at UW-Milwaukee last season. Noah Carter was a double-figure scorer out there in the Missouri Valley Conference. And now you add in there Mosley, who he is by far the biggest add, in my opinion, for Missouri at this point. Someone who's familiar with the state, and I think that is a little bit underrated. He is a hometown kid of Columbia, and in 34 games last season, 20.5 points, 6 boards, 2.5 assists, shot 42.5% from 3, 90% at the free throw line. The low post play of Missouri is still a little bit of a question mark, but you also add in there Sean East, the number one JUCO transfer in all of college basketball, and really, they got 2 out of the top 5 JUCO transfers coming in for Missouri. So they have done a great job of hitting the portal. They've done a great job being able to scour around, being able to find some talent, and hopefully I'll be able to find you guys some winners this season in college basketball. We are getting set for what is going to be an amazing 2022-23 season. Even though it is the off season, bets that are won during the season, they're won right now with great preparation time. So if you do like what you're hearing from this fine podcast, Coast to Coast Hoops, you're able to subscribe wherever you hear podcasts: Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, and TuneIn. If you've got a question, comment, segment idea, what have you for this podcast, you do have one of two ways to be able to throw those in. First one is my Twitter timeline at @GUnit_81. Keep in mind, letters EM, name does not matter, so as per usual, please just send these into the timeline. And the other way is via an Apple Podcast review. If you rate this podcast 5 stars, it is very much appreciated. Then from there, you're able to fire in whatever you'd like to hear on this podcast via that 5-star review. Big thanks to Eli Becker of HeatCheckCBB for joining me in the last segment. Coming at you guys every single day throughout the college basketball regular season and offseason. When it's a regular season, picks and analysis on every single game, every single day. Offseason conference previews like you wound up hearing on the podcast yesterday, along with the news and notes of college basketball. So I'll chat at you guys once again tomorrow. Thank you so much for tuning in.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
What do the most successful growing businesses have in common? They're working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.